Hello and welcome to Spin Unspun, the podcast about leaders and leadership in the world of corporate affairs and corporate communications. I'm Damien Rees from Instinctive Partners, in conversation with the best and the brightest in corporate affairs, asking all the questions and discussing all the topics that really matter to people who shoulder the weighty responsibility for corporate reputation and effective communications. Today, I'm delighted to be joined in the Instinctive studio by Chris Dugmore, Corporate Affairs Director at Mars Food and Nutrition Europe. Chris, welcome to the podcast. Thanks very much for your time.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And also joining me today is my Instinctive co-host, Helen Dodd, who heads up our Reinventing Responsibility proposition, which covers all things ESG. Helen, welcome. Great to see you again. Chris, first of all, why don't you just tell us how you reached your present role?
My journey to this role actually starts with my journey to Mars. My first role in Mars was not in corporate affairs.
The company, not the planet.
The company, not the planet. I was looking for work after university, and I got a temporary role in the company. And I fell in love with Mars at that moment and found a way to get a permanent role. I was in a very different function. I started my career in supply chain. And I was in a supply chain role in Mars Chocolate, looking for what was next, looking around the business for where I wanted to take my career. And I discovered the world of corporate affairs. And I started talking to the people that were in the team at the time. A job came up. I applied. I was successful in getting that job. And the rest then is history. So I started in Mars Chocolate in corporate affairs. I was looking after...
What year was that? 2010.
Okay. I joined the corporate affairs team in Mars Chocolate, looking after local community programs, supporting the press office and some of our brand charity partnerships. From there, I moved to Mars Petcare to take on the role of CA manager and then head of corporate affairs for the UK pet nutrition team. From there, I jumped to Mars Food in the UK. That was 2017, and then into the role I'm currently in, which is the European Corporate Affairs Director for Food and Nutrition, which I've been in since 2021.
So, Chris, you've worked across different segments and geographies in your time at Mars, and you mentioned that today you cover the UK, France and Germany, which all must have differences when it comes to communication approaches and styles. What are the key differences that you've experienced as you've moved through the business, and how have you navigated those changes and differences?
I think one of the great things about Mars is the opportunity to move across the business. And there are many examples of people who have worked across different functions, across different markets and geographies, and across different segments. I've been lucky to work across a number of them. Wherever you work in Mars, you feel it's Mars. We're principles-led, we're purpose-led, we're a very people-centric culture. There's a real special culture about the business, but the segments have different identities. They have different histories, they have different brands, and with that comes uniquenesses in the culture and identities. And that's exciting to work across and learn. And from a comms point of view, that comes with needing to understand, I guess, the differences. So tone of voice, for example, might be different.
So then the segments, you're basically talking about the verticals, the chocolate.
Yes.
Care.
Yes. Maybe if I step back, Mars covering products and services across confectionery, gum, pet food, pet care, food and nutrition, which is the part I work in. So when I talk segments, I'm talking the different categories of products or services that we make. So yeah, they have very different identities. And then so when we think about the communication style, there are, of course, differences. When I moved into pet care, that was the moment I realized that there were these differences. And so stop. Don't assume you know everything. And I think that's advice for anybody moving roles. Make sure you do your first 90 days or make sure you are learning and not assuming. When it comes to the markets, I'm always going to know more about the UK than other markets. I've lived here and worked here my whole life. The journey I've been on over the last 2 or 3 years is understanding what do I need to know versus what do I need others to know. So I bring my judgment or my experience to a topic, and then I have a fantastic team in the markets who know the nuances of the markets or know the detail. So, for example, if we're writing a reactive statement, let's not write it if I write it in English for an English market and then try and put that onto the markets, that might not work. So how do we co-create? How do we build together to ensure that what we're writing works for not just the UK, but for other markets as well? So, and I rely on my team for that expertise, for that judgment, for many of our communications.
And I guess, because you've been at Mars for quite a while, you must have witnessed quite a lot of change at the business. Just tell us what those main changes have been, and also what how the corporate affairs function has evolved in your experience over that time.
Yeah, so the Mars business has grown massively. Been there through the acquisition of Wrigley, for example, the expansion into pet services. As well as that growth, what I've seen in that time is us articulate the Mars Inc. purpose, which is the world we want tomorrow starts with how we do business today. I've seen us articulate our sustainability strategy and commitments, our net zero roadmap and the Mars Compass. I think we'll come on and talk about some of those, but what those things give us as communicators is a fantastic framework to tell the Mars story. We've got commitments, we've got proof points, we've got initiatives, and a lot of what we do and what we communicate stems from those global frameworks. And the function has a really powerful voice in the business and standing in the business. I've sat on the leadership team now for the last 7 years. So we are here to help advise, guide, and support the business and its strategy and its growth.
And in such a big and complex organisation like Mars, which, as you said, has different segments, but also operates across different geographies, how do you ensure that you're coordinating effectively when it comes to messaging? How do you structure yourselves across the globe to ensure that you're all working together effectively as one communications function?
Yeah, we have people who are in market roles, regional roles, segment roles, cross-segment roles, and we have really strong ways of working and roles and responsibilities, so that's clear. If I bring that to life with my part of the business, so I look after the European business for food and nutrition. I work very closely with the global corporate affairs team for food and nutrition so that we're aligned on priorities, messaging, activities across the year. So my main sort of work is upwards to ensure that coordination within the segment, within the food and nutrition business. My teams in the markets have the same, but across the markets. So with their colleagues and counterparts in the other segments, so that the same coordination happens in market. We talk about ourselves being in the segments. To many externally, we are just Mars. And so we need to show up as a single business. And so, yeah, we have a vertical coordination through the segments. We have a horizontal through the markets. And we have very clear ways of working to ensure that coordination happens.
And is that how Mars as a group imposes, if you like, for want of a better word, some kind of group-wide set of messages? Or is that not necessarily very important?
I think it is. And we have that coming from two places, the corporate centre, if we're talking about the Mars Inc. Strategy, purpose, or, for example, our sustainability ambitions. We also have it from the segments. So the segments are very standalone, and the messaging and comms from pet care is very different to the messaging comms from food and nutrition. So we have governance from both, but we then have a lot of power in the markets to ensure that we're able to then execute those as needed in the markets or in the regions.
So thinking specifically about your role in food and nutrition, of course, over the last few years, it's been a particularly challenging time for food and drink. So whether that's been navigating through a global pandemic, you know, the impact of inflation, of course, tackling some of those big issues around sustainability, obesity and public health, for example. What sort of specific objectives and initiatives are you prioritising as corporate affairs director so that you can really support the growth and reputation of food and nutrition, you know, through these challenging times?
Yeah, I mean, you covered a lot of the context of the business. I'll probably talk about two, one internal and one external. A lot of my role is around internal comms and supporting business communications to our associates across the markets that I look after. really powerful internal comms for me are critically important for the success of the business. We communicate priorities, expectations, business performance. And it's really important that our associates understand what's expected of them. And internal comms plays a really powerful role. It also drives associate engagement. Mm. And we know that engaged associates are productive associates, and high engagement drives high productivity. So really powerful. It also drives associate advocacy. So our associates are often our strongest voices in terms of then talking externally and promoting the business. So how do we talk to our associates, not just about performance, but sustainability, purpose, how we as a business give back? So a lot of my focus is on creating strong, powerful internal comms. One of the things that I think makes us special in food and nutrition is our love of food. And we do a lot around cooking together. So we have kitchens in each of our offices, and we encourage our associates to cook during meetings and share food together over lunch. And one of the things we want to do this year internally is really celebrate that passion for food, bring that to life. How do we enable our associates to share food, cook together, enjoy a shared meal? And then how do we celebrate that as well? And so that's one of the things that I love doing in my job. How do we go into some of those areas and encourage some of that more fun in the workplace and bringing people together? From an external point of view, we'll focus this year on our Ben's Original brand. So Ben's Original has a really powerful purpose around creating opportunities that offer everybody a seat at the table. So it's really around inclusivity. And we have some really great partnerships across the markets as we bring that purpose to life. In the UK, we have a long-standing partnership with the Trussell Trust, the food bank charity, as well as we're coming into the second year of a partnership with Be Inclusive Hospitality, who are a social enterprise whose ambitions are to increase diversity in the hospitality industry. In Germany, we partner with the TAFL, which is a food bank charity, and in France with Le Table de Chef, which is a sort of cooking education charity for underprivileged children. We've got some great partnerships. My focus this year is, how do we really maximize those? How do we use the strong foundations we have in place to do two things? One, help drive brand performance and brand growth and really get people to see Ben's as a purpose-led and purpose-driven brand. And then secondly, how do we use those with our corporate storytelling? And so how do we get more traction from those stories and tell those stories in different and more impactful ways?
I guess at some point in your career, you will have had to deal with difficult crises and issues, management as we like to call it. Is there a particular example that you have from your time at Mars that you could talk about, particularly in terms of how you dealt with it and the strategies you deployed?
Yeah, the one that jumps to mind is how we responded to the COVID crisis.
Okay.
when that came at us. And I think the reason I use that is because it was such a unique and huge situation that we hadn't dealt with before. And it was a crisis that had multiple phases. We had the pandemic is upon us, and we had to suddenly change our ways of working. We had the phase of trying to continue to operate a business with various stipulations, lockdowns, etc. And then we had the end of the crisis as we started to open up. That's a very simplistic view of what that 2 years was. And every phase required then a different set of decisions or a different approach. Within that, we had really clear principles. And I think that's, how did we manage it? We had really clear principles. Number one was always the safety of our associates and their families. So safety first, and then, of course, business continuity. And we're making pet food and food products, so it's important that we're able to continue to operate and put food on shelves. So it was of course, a global crisis. So we managed ourselves in that way. So we had local teams responsible for each of the markets. We had regional teams who then governed the regions, and then global teams on top of that. And again, it was really important that we had the right roles and responsibilities to ensure coordination. I think on top of having those principles that we always fell back on, we had clear escalation routes in terms of decision making. We had very clear plans for when and how we would come together as crisis teams to discuss what was happening. And then we were led by experts and led by data. So the occupational health teams in our sites were critical for how do we continue to run factories or vet clinics safely? Tell us how that we can do this. What measures do we have to put in place? And then, as I said, be led by the science or be led by the data. And we all remember it was just incredibly complicated, wasn't it? You know, different countries locking down and opening up at different times, even within countries. In the UK, we had different tiers and our sites were in different tiers. So how we coordinate that and ensure that we are putting a set of principles on top of some of those differences was really important. We suddenly had office staff who were suddenly at home where they were in the office sort of 3, 4, 5 days a week before this, who were suddenly trapped at home on their own or with their families. And we launched the Mars Virtual Health Club to help them. So this was virtual exercise classes. It was cooking or nutrition classes, webinars on mental health. I think it's a great example of how Mars approaches some of these things that says, how do we go above and beyond and how do we support our associates through the difficult times? And again, people today still talk about the Mars Virtual Health Club as a great example of us doing exactly that.
Do you think some of that culture or you know, some of that reflects the culture in the business, doesn't it? The Virtual Health Club. I mean, do you think that fundamentally reflects the family nature of Mars? I mean, is that a thing? Is that important in Mars? Does it come through? Given it's such a big global business, it might be quite hard. But I'm just curious to know how you feel about that family element.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we are, at the end of the day, we are family-owned, private family-owned business. We then have the five principles. And then we grow from there. And I think there's always, and we call ourselves associates, not employees, because that bond and that contract between us is very powerful. And so I think you're right. I think the culture stems from the Mars family and what they want their business to stand for. And even though we are now much bigger than we were, that always holds true through wherever you are in the business.
I was just going to go back to something that you said earlier around supporting your purpose-led brands. And you gave the example of Ben's Original and the work that they've done to, you know, sort of articulate but also deliver on that purpose. And we've seen some pushback from areas of the media and from investors around purpose-led brands and whether brands need to have a purpose at their core. From a communications perspective, how do you support your brands to make sure that they're getting it right in this space so that they are, you know, delivering on a purpose, but also creating value and, you know, ensuring that what they're articulating is meaningful to an external audience?
Yeah, I don't think every brand needs a purpose. And I think part of it is which brands should and could have a purpose. So not every brand in Mars has an articulated purpose. Ben's Original does. For me, you have to be able to back it up. You have to be able to back it up with commitment and then with delivery. So purpose on a page or words on a page, I think are there, can be criticized. If I look at our Ben's Original purpose, we can back that up with investment, with commitment, and with impact on the ground. And so when we're talking about designing our purpose programs, that's where we start. What is the commitment? What can we deliver here? So that if we are asked about what the impact is or why we have it, we've got those proof points. Mm. The other is, again, being backed by data. So how do you then fall back on data, proof points or research to be able to articulate why this is your purpose or why this is where your focus is?
And reflecting on your journey with Mars, is there a professional milestone that stands out for you as the most memorable?
I've definitely had some pinch me moments in my career. I remember standing on stage with Sir Trevor Brooking as we launched a community football program in Slough many years ago. And as a big football fan, that was, you know, definitely a moment where I said, wow, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest milestone is joining a leadership team. I think that's corporate affairs or any function. That's the moment you go from being a functional expert to a business leader and the expectations on you change. The moment though I look back to is a very specific moment. We, in food and nutrition, we have a really strong belief around the power of food and the power of food in bringing people together. It's where you connect, it's where you build relationships, it's where you share. We ran a roundtable, I think in 2019, where at the start of a bit of a journey around what we were calling mealtime matters, and we invited retailers, charities, NGOs, someone from Public Health England was there, as it was, and we asked a couple of questions. We asked, what are the benefits of shared meals? What are the barriers? And what should a business like Mars do to break those barriers down? And I use that moment as my example, because as I left that roundtable, it really hit home to me the power of business for doing good, because we learned so much on what the barriers are to people sort of just coming together and sharing a meal. And there was no specific ask or ambition for the roundtable apart from learning. And as I said, I left that thinking, this is really where business can drive value. And that roundtable was the starting point for a lot of work over the last few years. So we've written two reports on shared meals, the benefits and the barriers. We're really starting to understand and articulate the benefits that are really broad. You know, it's obvious that it's when you come together and connect, but there's some really interesting stats around mental health, children's mental health especially. So we've written two reports on this since then. Our Trussell Trust partnership in the UK in part was born from that roundtable, because we talked a lot about one of the biggest barriers to people sharing a meal is poverty, and they can't afford to put the food on the table in the first place. I've built some really strong relationships with a number of charities. I was talking to one last week who we've stayed in contact with, and we've done work with a number of charities off the back of that roundtable. So it's a particular passion area of mine, sort of shared meals and the power of food. And I take it back to that round table as the starting point. And it really is a moment in my career where I think, wow, look what we've achieved from a specific starting point.
Yeah. Can I just also ask about your role on the leadership team that you mentioned? What do you see as the role of corporate affairs on the leadership team? What are you there to bring?
I think it's a number of things. I think the role we can play, and I think it's twofold. I think you bring your functional hat, but you also bring your personality and who you are, and that's the same as any function. So I think we play a role in bringing the outside world in to the business. Mm. We are often more aware or connected with what's going on. I think we play a really vital role in bringing the outside world in. I think we can connect the dots across the business. And then we play an advice sort of and guidance role in terms of business decision making. How might this play out? What are the risks and the rewards? I've also been on a personal journey around what role do I play as an individual, not just as a corporate affairs professional. And I think you bring, whoever you are on a leadership team, you bring your functional expertise, but you also bring your personality. We were together as a leadership team last week in Germany. We were doing a bit of sort of feedback session and sort of ways of working. And I got some feedback around, I often ask the questions that other people don't think of. And I sat up with pride when I heard that. And I think that is a combination of my functional expertise and experience, as well as probably who I am as a person, my personality as well.
I think large companies come in for criticism about lack of transparency and being secretive. And I think that criticism is often unfair. I think people use it as a very convenient stick with which to beat big business, because clearly you have commercial sensitivities and so forth. But how do you in corporate communications, how do you approach that balance between being open and honest, but also maintaining the right degree, an appropriate degree of confidentiality?
I think you're right. I think it is a balance, and I think it's judgment, and I think it's on a case-by-case basis. It's hard to sort of broad brush it. My personal view is open and transparent communication is always best, but that isn't at all costs. So it's always a judgment call. I think the example I would use here is the Mars Compass, which I mentioned earlier. Mars business has always been a business that is about more than just financial performance. The Mars family have always been around investing back and creating benefits for people and the planet. We also know that in today's world, people are more interested in, as you say, what a company does, what it stands for, what does a success look like? The Mars compass is our articulation of that. So it's the Mars family setting out, what does a successful business mean to them? And what does it look like? And importantly, it's more than financial performance. So there's the compass is four quadrants. There is strong financial performance, quality growth, trusted partner, and positive societal impact. So reputation and environment and sustainability are on there. And it's a way of the Mars business, which is private, so it doesn't have the same sort of need on communication, to really articulate, actually internally and externally, what does success mean? And against each of those quadrants are objectives and measures. And that is, as I said, the Mars family saying, for us, business is about doing good. For us, business is about strong performance so that we can reinvest and think for the long term. But it is about these really important things. So sustainability, the environment, reputation. And I think that's a great example of the business saying, we know we need to talk more in this space. And here is the way we are going to do it so that we can really explain succinctly what a good business looks like.
And the landscape clearly must have evolved over the past 17 years, not just in terms of the issues that you're dealing with, but also the approaches and the platforms that we use for communicating. What have you found most effective for engaging with stakeholders and for amplifying Mars corporate message? Is there anything particularly innovative or interesting that you've worked on?
I think a great example is the Mars net zero roadmap that we announced last year. So a typical corporate announcement on a sustainability commitment. What I think was really innovative about that and got traction was the approach. So at the start of it was having the right proof points. So a net zero goal by 2050, but shorter term milestones. The fact that we are investing billions in the short term in that, they're the proof points that get attention. We as a business have decoupled business growth with emissions already. So again, a huge proof point that gets attention. I think the innovative approach was that the roadmap, we announced it as an open source roadmap. So we published the detail, which I think is quite unique. And the interest that we saw at launch or at announcement and the interest we are continuing to see shows that actually that's quite different. And that innovative approach to communicating it drives further interest. We then, and I loved this campaign, we then said, how do we then continue to tell that story to different audiences in different ways? And before Christmas, we launched a brand-led campaign where we took old adverts and remade them or edited them with new climate and sustainability messages. And that's, I think, a great way of then telling a corporate sustainability story in a different way and through your brands to consumers. We started that before Christmas. We're still running with that. Did it on M&M's. We did it on Ben's Original. So we took old fan favorite ads and then, I'll send you things that are very clever, edited to now have a sustainability message across them. And that was really clever. And then I think I give the example of the Berlin Green Week in Germany in January, which is how we bring all this together. So the Berlin Green Week is a big sustainability event. The team in Germany had a stand there where they told the net zero story. So a big part of the stand was this net zero ambition. We were in the process of announcing a e-truck partnership for our logistics across Europe. So they had one of the e-trucks at the event. We announced the partnership there. We used the truck as the backdrop for media announcements. We took the brand campaigns that I mentioned and we had outdoor advertising and print advertising at the time. So I think a really fantastic example of how we then used, or the team used, very different channels, brought it all together to communicate one message in very different ways all at the same time.
That open source element that you mentioned of the roadmap when you announced it, was that to attract feedback and help you design it? Or what was the purpose of the open source element of it?
I suspect there was an element of that. I think it was around helping others. So here's how we are going to do this.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If you are interested in following or also going on this journey, here is what we're doing. Something like climate change, where we all have to solve it.
Yeah.
It's no good us doing our part And then, and but how can we facilitate others to also go on that journey? And again, I think that's a great example of the approach Mars takes.
In terms of your own personal success in this career, what would you see as being the most important things that have helped you with that success? Is it great mentoring? Is it being able to learn? Is it principles that people have laid down or that you follow? Is it all about your own personality and character?
I think it's probably a bit of everything. I think it's about being yourself and being authentic. Mm. And I've been on a journey around that, really understanding myself. I know I show up best when I'm being myself. Whatever authenticity means to you, I think that's important. Owning your own development is really important in role, but also then when opportunities come at you, jump at them. And if I think about the career moves I've made, I've sort of jumped at opportunities that maybe not everybody would have jumped on. And I think, you know, being clear on what you want from a career, the experiences you're looking for, I think is really important. And then finally, for me, it was about my network. So having people around me who I can learn from, I can ask advice from, I can brainstorm with. I've been very lucky to work with incredible people through my career, many of whom have supported me and continue to do so. And that network is incredibly powerful.
Finally, Chris, the question that we ask all of our guests just to round things off, and if you can imagine a life outside of Mars after 17 years, if you weren't in corporate affairs, what would be your dream job? Or perhaps it's another role at Mars.
My dad was a fast jet pilot in the RAF. So I grew up on military bases and watching planes fly over my house. So if I wasn't working at Mars, I think flying fighter planes would be a pretty cool alternative.
Brilliant. Chris, thank you very much for your company today and your insights. You've been listening to Spin Unspun, the podcast from Instinctive Partners about corporate affairs and corporate communications with myself, Damien Rees, and my co-host today, Helen Dodd. Helen, thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much.
Our guest today has been Chris Dugmore, Corporate Affairs Director at Mars Food and Nutrition. Join us again for our next episode of Spin Unspun, details at instinctive.com. Find us on social media on the usual channels. And if you'd like to get in touch about Spin Unspun, just drop me a line, damien.rees@instinctive.com.